And I was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. It was just crazy. We looked at each other like, what?
Are we really ready for this moment? Like, we were so excited and like we knew it was gonna happen. But then in that moment of like, holy cow, like this is actually happening.
I took that onesie and I made a cute little sign that said, hi, daddy, I can't wait to meet you. And I put the positive test and I laid it all out on our dining room table. And then I sat for like 2 hours.
You've landed on the From Bumps to Birth podcast. I'm your host, Ricky Hamley. As a crazy mom of six and a diehard birth geek, I created this space for parents to come and share their unique journeys to parenthood. Whether it's been smooth sailing or bumps along the way, there's no journey alike. So help me in honoring these stories and sit back, relax, and let your inner birth geek indulge. Dear listeners, this episode contains a strong trigger warning. The story is about a second trimester birth with the loss of a baby. If you are not in the place, mind, body, or soul, to listen to this story, please skip over this episode and come back at a later date when your heart desires. Thank you so much for listening.
What's up, everyone? So I am really excited to be back on here today. I have taken an embarrassing amount of time away from the podcast. I've kind of just stayed stagnant for quite a while now, but to be honest with you, there's just been a lot of things that have gone on in my personal life that I really just needed to take care of and get in the right headspace and stuff for that to deal, and to really be able to give this my focus. But I am back. I am working hard on trying to get birth stories, and, you know, stories to parenthood. They're not necessarily all going to be birth stories, but I'm really trying to kind of broaden the spectrum here, and because not everybody has reached that end goal yet. So I really want to get those stories out there too, because there's a lot of people who struggle with infertility and are on that journey. So I really want to bring light to that and awareness to that and just some relatability. So yeah, that is the plan. Today, I'm actually going to be sharing a story of my own. I've waited purposely until October for this because it is pregnancy and infant loss month. Actually, this past Sunday, October 15th, was like the national day for that. I was hoping to get this out then, but we had a very busy schedule. I do have 6 kids and 5 of them are in sports and just busy, busy, busy. So I thought better in October than not at all. So that's where we're at today. But it also is going to go, it's kind of the reason behind my absence too. I suffered a second trimester loss back in 2022. It was really unexpected. And I've dealt with recurrent loss my entire childbearing years. I've suffered several miscarriages, and it hasn't been an easy ride for me. But this, they're all very difficult, but this was a very traumatic event, and it really came out of nowhere and hit me out of nowhere. And so I want to share that story in memory of our baby girl, Meadow, and just, you know, bring more awareness to pregnancy and infant loss. So I'll go ahead and get started with that. So I found out that I was pregnant back in right after the first of the year in January of 2022. It wasn't really uncommon for me to take a pregnancy test just to confirm. I kind of am just one of those people who do that. I don't know. I'm sure there's lots of people out there that can relate to that. But I took a test. I was close to my period. I don't remember exactly where I was at in my cycle or how close to my period I was, but obviously close enough that I took a test and it came back positive. And I really wasn't that surprised. We weren't really trying, but we were actually kind of on the fence about if we were going to have any more kids or not. We have 6 kids, and so obviously we've been immensely blessed, and we're happy with where we're at in life. So, but, you know, once the initial, like, surprise of it wore off, although I wasn't surprised, you know, I just don't think you're ever really prepared. And I struggle hard when I get that positive test. It's never like a huge, like, joyous moment for me. Usually it triggers a lot of anxiety because I've had so many losses. And so that first trimester especially is just really, really bumpy for me. And my doctor, he's always been really great to me. He's been with me with all my kids, all my pregnancies. And he knows that. So he takes really good care of me and tries to help ease my anxiety as best as possible. I am a realist. I don't like things sugar-coated. And unfortunately, I've done a lot of research. So usually I can tell when something is off or maybe like an impending miscarriage or something. But about six weeks, I had a little bit of bleeding, which is not uncommon for me. I've bled in every single pregnancy, usually around that time for sure. And it stopped rather quick. And so I had ultrasounds and stuff, or I had an ultrasound and baby looked fine. And then after that, I was being seen weekly until about 12 weeks where I felt comfortable. I kind of had reached that safe zone, that everybody talks about. Baby was doing great. I had no more bleeding, wasn't having any cramping or anything like that. And so I actually ended up scheduling an appointment 2 weeks out instead of weekly. And I made an appointment with a local photographer to do like a family announcement photo, photos, I should say. And we chose St. Patrick's Day to announce because we were pregnant with our lucky number 7. And I just thought that was kind of fitting with the theme. And so we had the pictures done about 2 weeks prior, or week and a half prior, I suppose. And so when St. Patrick's Day came around, we announced it, and surprisingly, everybody was really supportive and excited for us. And it just really felt like, I don't know, it just really felt real. I was comfortable. I was excited and ready to, you know, keep going on that journey with that baby and getting to meet him or her. So we also had opted out of something that's really popular right now. Is like the genetic testing where you can find out the gender super early, not like sneak peek or anything, but the genetic testing that they do like in the clinic. I had decided not to do that because I didn't really feel the need for it, and we didn't want to find out the gender anyways. So I had skipped that, and so we didn't know the gender or anything. And so we announced on March 17th. And on the 18th of March, I took my son to an appointment. And while he was in the appointment, I went to Target. And of course, I had to go to the baby section. Everything was really feeling real now. Everybody knew. And so I was really excited. And I ended up going and picking out this cute little gender neutral sleeper set that was just so precious. And I was excited, but in that moment, standing there in that aisle as I was holding that, something came over me. Like, I thought, what if something happens? Like, how are you gonna feel about this? You know, like, fear came back to me, and for some reason, I couldn't shake that feeling. I felt weird, but I literally told myself, well, it's okay. You know, if something like that does happen, you could always just give it to a friend at a baby shower or something. Like, I literally told myself that in my head. And so I went about my shopping and went and got my son. And on the way home, we live about an hour away, I went and got my son from his appointment, and I was having this weird, it wasn't really painful, but it was pressure, and it was more like in my butt, like towards my tailbone. And I have a retroverted uterus. If you don't know what that is, that just means my uterus tips back instead of forward in a normal position. And so pressure on my tailbone and stuff wasn't uncommon, but this was kind of different. It felt like maybe I needed to go to the bathroom. I wasn't super crampy or anything, but it was annoying enough that I stopped on the side of the road and I got out and I kind of walked around for a few minutes, because sometimes, you know, with gas and stuff like that, it can get painful. And I thought, well, maybe I just have some like trapped gas or something. And so I did that. Nothing happened, but I decided, well, nothing. I'm not bleeding or anything, so there's nothing to be really worried about. So I hopped in the car and we drove the rest of the way home. And when we got home, I was walking my in-laws are actually our neighbors. And I had seen my mother-in-law and I had told her, I'm kind of having a weird pressure. I'm going to try to go to the bathroom and see if that helps. And so when I got in the house, I went and used the bathroom, and nothing happened. I was just like, what is going on? You know, like this pressure just must be growing, and that's what's happening. But I've even been pregnant with twins before, and I just never had felt what I was feeling. But I wasn't super concerned. Everything's so different, and I was older, and so I was really trying to dismiss it. But I noticed when I wiped, there was bright red blood. There was no blood in my underwear. There was no blood in the toilet. But there was blood when I wiped. And so then I didn't immediately freak out then either, because I've had subchorionic bleeds. I've had them around that point before. And normally I bleed a little bit and then it goes away. And so I got done and went and I put a pad on just to be safe. And I went and laid on my bed, and I had a doctor's appointment already scheduled for later that afternoon. I was just waiting for my husband to get home to go to that. And as I was laying on my bed, I just felt like this huge gush. And I realized I had bled completely through the pad, and I was now bleeding onto my bed. And that was really alarming to me, because I was like, wow, that's a lot of blood, and I've never really had that much come out before. So I was starting to feel a little bit uneasy at that point, and my kids were actually in the room when that happened, so that freaked them out. And so I called my mother-in-law, and she came to our house, and I just had told her, I'm gonna just clean up and get into the shower. And I did that, and I was still bleeding like crazy amounts. And I was starting to feel pain like in my uterus at this point. And so that made me feel really uneasy, because usually with my subchorionic bleeds, I don't usually cramp. I might have like mild cramping, but not what I was feeling. And so I got really worried. And so I got out of the shower and put on an even bigger pad on. I used a postpartum one, like the diaper sized ones. And I laid back down until my husband got home for the appointment. And I noticed that, like when I was laying down, I'm really tall. I'm about 6 foot. And so, I mean, I don't show with a retroverted uterus and, like my height, my uterus is really low down. And at 14 weeks, a little over 14 weeks, like my uterus is like barely, you know, up above my pubic bone at that point. So I'm not really like showing or anything, but I had noticed that, my uterus, like my belly below from my belly button down, was huge, and it was solid as a rock. Like I was pushing it and it wouldn't even indent in. And so I was like, wow, like my uterus seems like it's really angry. And I could tell that it was much bigger than it should be. And so that really alarmed me. And I was kind of getting in more pain as time was going on. So my husband finally got home and we were even early to leave. And I was just like, let's go. It doesn't matter. As long as we're there at the appointment, you know, even if we have to wait a little bit, I just rather would be there. And I wanted that security of my doctor because I was really unsure what was going on. So we get there, and which is about an hour away. And when I got out of the truck, I was having a really hard time like standing up straight. The pain was definitely significant. I would probably say it was like out of 5. I was really uncomfortable, but I wasn't crying or anything at that point. And so we got in and they did an ultrasound and they watched the baby for about 30 minutes on the ultrasound. And honestly, I don't know why they did this, but I'm so grateful that they did. And I'm so grateful that I had that time to see her moving around. I didn't know it was a her at the time, but I mean, I was watching her open her mouth and move her hands around and kick. And you could tell that she was really squished. You could tell that my uterus was really mad. And I still don't know to this day that if that the reason why they sat there and watched that long is because they saw something that they knew was probably not going to end up well. I don't remember my doctor saying anything other than, you know, you just need to go home and you need to take it easy. And that's hard when you have 6 kids, but I knew something was very different this time in that I was with this pain that I was having that I'd never had before, that I really needed to take that serious. And so we got home later that night, and to my surprise, the bleeding actually let up and the pain went away. And I was like, okay, maybe this was just a bleed. And I even felt well enough that I always would go in with my toddler at the time. He was 2, or almost 2, I should say. He was a week away from being 2. And I went in his room and I laid with him at his normal bedtime and got him to sleep. I actually had dozed off too with him. And I got up after I realized that I'd fallen asleep in the room and I was feeling fine. I went to the bathroom and checked on things and the bleeding had still subsided. And so I was like, okay, I think whatever was going on has chilled out. My uterus was still really big. And it was hard, but I wasn't really in pain. The pain had gone down quite a bit. I mean, it was still there, but it was like mild period cramps at that time. So I crawled in the bed and fell asleep. And about 2 a.m., I woke up and I knew something was wrong. And at this point, the pain had probably picked up to, I'd say, a 7 or 8. And I was not able to sleep through it anymore. So many different scenarios were going through my head at that time. I was really trying to talk myself out of believing what I thought was happening. And so I kind of laid there and I have an at-home Doppler. And so I grabbed that and I found the baby's heart immediately. I could hear the baby moving around and had a good strong heartbeat. It was like in the 150s, 160s. And at that moment, when I heard the heartbeat, I was like, see, everything is fine. You're just making things, you're stressing yourself out. Or I also thought, well, maybe there's something else going on that isn't pregnancy related. Maybe that's not my uterus that I'm feeling, which my doctor had already said that it was large. And the firmness that I was feeling was my uterus contracting at that point. But he said that could happen, you know, with the bleeds and sometimes when they're large like that, your uterus gets really angry and it's irritable. And so I think he was just trying to be optimistic at the time, and keep me calm, because getting me wound up wasn't going to help anything. But like I said before, I'm a realist and I like things given to me straight. So I kind of wish that, and maybe it was said, but I was in such a state at that doctor's appointment that maybe I just don't remember them telling me. I don't know. It was such a weird situation for me to be going through at that time, and just trying to process it all and take it minute by minute. And anyways, so it was about 2 at that point, and I listened to the heartbeat, and I started to panic that something else was wrong, that maybe I was having internal bleeding somewhere else and in my abdomen that was causing even my uterus to be mad. And so I decided that I was going to look, like, watch the clock, because the pain would intensify and then it would let up like a contraction. And so as my last, like, hoorah to talk myself out of it, to see if anything was timeable, I watched the clock and I realized everything was coming. It was coming, like, that strong, strong pain that I was feeling was coming every 2 minutes. And that's when it hit me that this was really happening, like something was going on. And so I got up because I started sweating really bad and feeling really just uneasy. I felt sick and I was in a lot of pain. And I've had all besides my twins, I've had them vaginally and unmedicated. And so I'm very familiar with like what intense contractions feel like. And these were up there. Like they were up there. I won't say they were exactly like at a full-time birth, but I mean, they were pretty dang close. And so I stood up and I started kind of like swaying back and forth, trying to, for like pain measure or like for comfort measure, to try to help ease the pain a little bit. I was just having so much pressure and pain that I didn't know what else to do. And it was in the middle of the night and I didn't want to wake my husband up for no reason. And I didn't want to, obviously my kids are all sleeping, I didn't want to make a scene, you know? And so I stood up for a little bit and then I laid back down, and then the pain kind of got really, really bad. And I got up really fast and stood back up because it was so painful that I just was like, what is happening here? And I really started to panic, and I suddenly felt this like relief, but I also felt a weight in my underwear and in my pants, and that set me over the edge, and I screamed for my husband, who was literally like a foot away from me. I screamed for him to get up. I have like a sleeping disorder where sometimes I will sleepwalk, and so he's used to me sometimes like trying to wake him up and convince him that I'm not sleeping. And I think he was really caught off guard, because he stood instantly up, and you know, he kind of went into that mode like, no, you're okay, you know. And I was like, I really need you to listen to me right now. I said, something is in my pants. I think it's the baby. And he was like, no, it's just blood, you know, it's probably a blood clot, you know. And I was like, I don't need you to talk me out of it. I need you to help me. And he's like, what do you want to do? And I said, can you please just get some towels and lay them on the floor in the bathroom? There wasn't really a lot of room in my bedroom for me to lay down. And the way that I was bleeding, I could tell that I had bled through my pad that was on, because my pants were covered in blood at this point, all the way down, like to my knees. And so he laid out some towels on the floor, and I once we got into the bathroom, I asked him to help me because I wasn't sure what to expect when I pulled my pants down, and I could still feel that I was bleeding a lot. And to my surprise, when I pulled my pants down, it was a gigantic clot. It was so big. It was just like, I can't even explain. Like, I don't even have, it was bigger than both of my hands put together. I picked it up because I was like, at 14 weeks, I mean, you read all these apps and these books and stuff that, you know, tell you how big your baby is, but I just was like, maybe, you know, maybe the baby is in here, you know. And in my desperate attempt to look, I dug through this clot looking for my baby. And I was like, there's nothing in here. I was really unsure what to do at that point with that, because it was so large. Like, I would, if I had to say how much, it probably weighed at least 2 pounds. And that was the amount that I could hold in my hand. And so we ended up putting that in a Ziploc bag because I was like, well, what if that is something that, you know, maybe this isn't the baby coming out and maybe this is something else that's going on. And logic was not there. I just was kind of in fight or flight mode, and I was in desperate flight, like fight mode. So I sat down on the ground, and I wasn't in much pain at this point. Like, that pain that I was having had gone away. And, so we sat there for a bit, and I was still bleeding all over the floor. It was all over my feet and my legs. It was just coming out, like no break really in it. And so I was really unsure. My husband, I looked at my husband and I said, I think you need to call 911. And, I don't know why he didn't or what we agreed on in that moment, but I told him to call his mom, and who is our neighbor, and she ended up coming over. And because I was afraid that the kids were going to get up, and I did not want them to see that. And so she came, and she was in the room with us, kind of just standing by. And I had decided that, you know, enough time had gone by. I said, you know, maybe we just need to go to the hospital. And so I said, let's get up and I'm going to take a shower because I was covered in blood. It looked like a murder scene. And I asked my husband to help me up. Actually, let's rewind just a little bit. So right before I got up to do the shower, I had asked my husband to grab the Doppler again because I was like, I heard the baby's heartbeat before this all went down. And he was like, okay. And I was hoping to get some relief by hearing the heartbeat again. And so I listened, and I looked around for a little bit, and I couldn't hear anything. There was nothing that was even remotely close to what a heartbeat should sound like. And so at that point, I kind of had realized that my baby was likely no longer alive. Whatever had happened was just too catastrophic. And it was, the baby had no, like, even though the baby hadn't been born yet, I it was just kind of my mother's intuition too that told me that this isn't going to end well. But so that's when I decided, like, let's just go to the hospital and see what's going on. And when I stood up, my body naturally pushed, and I could feel the baby come down. And I said it out loud. I said, the baby's coming out. And I looked down, and I put my hands down. And right as I put my hands down, my baby fell into my hands. And I can't even tell you that in that moment, the pure shock and the heartbreak that I felt, and I was so angry. I was so angry. I remember screaming at the top of my lungs. And I even punched the wall. Like, I was just, I couldn't believe what was happening in that moment. And I couldn't believe that was it right there. Like, and so I had my husband sit me back down on the ground, because at that point I just felt like I was going to fall. I didn't want to drop her either. And the placenta, so she was, came out with her umbilical cord and stuff was there. And, I kind of pulled a little bit, just not even thinking. And I could tell that the placenta was still like attached. And so I told my husband to sit me down, and, we kind of waited there for about 10 minutes. And I've had issues with retained placentas before. I had to have emergency surgery with my, 6th baby, because the placenta actually didn't detach at all and then started to hemorrhage. And so I was rushed into emergency surgery. And then the pregnancy, so my 3rd baby also, I had retained placenta. So I was really worried about that, and I didn't know how big to expect the placenta to be, but, about 10 minutes after it did come out, and it was actually huge. I couldn't believe for 14 weeks, like, how big and how amazing our bodies really are to create something that's so, like, it just was really amazing to see how big that placenta really was. And it was so big that I, in fact, was like, you know what? I know there's no more in there. Like, everything looked intact. I could see the sac of where she was at, and like all the things that my OB had showed me in my full term pregnancies with the placenta, like I could identify all of that. And so I felt like it looked good. And I, at this point, I was just so in shock that I literally just sat there on the floor holding my baby and just, you know, taking that moment in and just trying to like memorize everything that I could about her. And just for reference, like, she was probably the size of a banana, and which was really surprising to me. I didn't think that the baby would be, like, she was much bigger than I anticipated, and I think that's part of the shock too. And so I ended up making a little cradle out of some blankets, and a little basket that I had, so I could take a shower and clean up. And my husband, so when I got in the shower, I felt another like pressure, and another gigantic, one of those like 2-pound clots came out again. And this time it was so big that it was just like spewing over my hand, like in the shower. And I screamed for my husband because it's terrifying. And I didn't know what to do or what to expect, or like, was I dying? Am I hemorrhaging? Or like, what's going on, you know? And after that blood clot came out, my bleeding did subside, quite a bit. I mean, I was still bleeding, but it wasn't anything like it was. And honestly, I didn't really care in that moment. Like, I just wanted to die. I was hurting so badly, like emotionally. I was so traumatized from what I had seen. I was upset about my baby. I felt like my body had just completely failed her. And I was just reminiscing on, you know, like, I literally heard her heartbeat just a short time before. Like, everything was fine. Everything was fine. And this came out of nowhere. Just a day, actually, I mean, she was born 2 days after we had announced, but, you know, the bleeding and everything had initially started the day after we had announced, you know, after we had hit that safe point. We felt like we had made it to a spot that we were okay. And there was no signs or indications or anything that this could have happened. And so after I had taken a shower, I'd got out and got dressed and got back into bed. And my husband went out and built the most beautiful little casket for her. And the kids slowly started waking up. And another really heartbreaking aspect of this whole thing is that this was my oldest's birthday that this had all happened on. And so getting up, you know, and once the kids were up and we had to have that hard discussion with them and tell them what had happened, was really hard for us. And some of my kids were young and didn't completely understand, but my older kids truly were just shattered by this. And so we ended up, after my husband had got the casket built for her and we got the hole dug for her, we had just like this little really intimate little service with my mother and father-in-law and my kids and my husband, and we said our goodbyes. And after that, I really just wanted to go. I just wanted to be normal. I just wanted to feel normal again. And with it being my daughter's birthday, I ended up taking her out to Olive Garden. And I remember sitting at the table and, you know, I was sitting at a table when just hours before I was literally sitting on my bathroom floor, covered in blood, holding my baby that had passed away. And it felt wrong, but it was a good reminder that you literally never know what anybody is going through. You never know what's going on behind that smile and the pain that somebody is dealing with, you know, because I was literally sitting next to people and they had no idea that I had gone through something like that. And our waiter was just like so amazing. It was such a weird sign that he was just over the top nice. And I just was like, you know what? You're a good human. And I'm so grateful that you were our waiter today, because I mean, it was just a weird day. And so the next few days were a blur, and I was really just trying to let my body heal. And I didn't go back to my doctor, or I just figured, you know, I did what needed to be done, and I was ready to start healing. I didn't need to go to the doctor. And so exactly a week after, which happened to be my youngest son's birthday, his second birthday, I had woke up that morning and I was feeling sick. My body was hurting. I just felt really crampy. I had body aches. I just felt gross. And so I at some point in time, I had called my husband, and he was like, well, if you feel like you can make it, you know, well, if you're still feeling crummy later, we can go in. But he was at work, and I didn't want him to take the time off for me to just, if I had a bug or something. And so I had texted my mother-in-law that I wasn't feeling very well. And she had, I can't remember what she had going on. She was supposed to be going to Boise for something. But she ended up turning around and coming straight back home. And I had gotten up to go to the bathroom between that time. And I realized that I was having some really heavy bleeding, and something was hanging out, but I could not get it out. It was still, like, when I pulled on it, it was stuck. And so I was like, I don't know what this could be. And so my mother-in-law came home, and we went straight to the ER, which was an hour away, and it was a miserable ride. I was in so much pain. I felt so yucky. And we got there, and they were very, very kind to me. And I was really nervous, because with dealing with this kind of stuff, I've only dealt with my OB, and I knew that the chances are I was probably going to have to deal with a different OB who could have a completely different bedside manner and just treat me like, you know, miscarriages happen. And, you know, I did not want to hear anything about that. I just wanted to feel better and move on. I didn't want them to give me any advice or any of that nonsense that some people try to do, that they think that they're going to make it better, but it doesn't help at all. But to my surprise, they ended up calling my OB, and he came in on his day off, and they did the ultrasound, and they found, one, that I had a terrible UTI. And then they did the ultrasound, and I had a decent sized piece of placenta that was stuck in the birth canal, and but still attached to the uterine wall, and it still had blood flow to it, which was really just like shocking to me, because I was pretty sure, like, that there was nothing left. There could have been nothing left because of how big the placenta was when I delivered it. So that was it was not surprising, because I knew something was in there, but I was really surprised to find out that it was actually placenta. And so, of course, they offered to do it manually, and I was like, no way. I've already gone through enough stuff. Like, there's no way. I'm not letting that happen. And so they were like, that's a decent choice. We always like to give people options, but they're like, I believe a DNC would be the best option. And so for some reason, it was so busy, and all the ORs were full. And so we had to wait 2 hours, and my doctor sat there the entire 2 hours with us, and just, we talked about everything, life, kids, and it was just so refreshing to just have that from a doctor and not hear, you know, like, oh, sometimes these things happen. And like, I knew he knew I didn't want to hear any of that. It was just really refreshing to be able to just have him there and have reassurance. And, you know, he was on my side, and he knew I was in pain and that my heart was broken, and there was nothing he could say or do to fix that. And he didn't try to fix that. So after the DNC, everything kind of just, my body finally went back to normal. I started feeling better pretty quickly. I still felt really yucky that night, but the next morning when I woke up, I was feeling much, much better. I didn't feel weak anymore. The body aches were gone. And so that was really reassuring, because it had already just been a really crappy week for me. And I hate saying that, because her birth and her life wasn't crappy. The circumstances were just not what I had expected or planned. Nobody expects or plans for that. And it just was rough. And it's been a rough few years, or it's almost been 2 years. It'll be 2 years in March, but it's been a rough year and a half for me. You know, my due date came around, and that in 2022, my due date came around, and that was kind of a tough one. And then this whole year has been kind of weird for me in 2023, because it should have been like all of her firsts. And It just is such a, I hate that women and families have to go through this, and I felt very alone, and even though I wasn't alone, I had amazing people around me. It's just a lonely and dark place that it's so hard to see the light or even see the love and support around you, because love and support isn't going to bring that baby back to you. Love and support isn't going to make it right. And so, you know, getting past that and being able to just be grateful that you do have people and other people out there who have gone through the same and can relate and do relate to you and can empathize with you and sympathize with you. And it's just been a really, really crazy year, crazy year and a half. But I am very grateful for her life, even though it was very, very short. She taught me a lot, and I wouldn't have traded it for anything, honestly. Her short time with me meant so much, and I'm grateful I got to see her, and I got to hold her, I got to name her, and I got to know she was a girl. Yeah, so ultimately, I wanted to honor her by sharing this story with you guys, and I'm hoping that others who have gone through similar experiences might feel inclined to share too, because like I said, it is a dark, lonely place, and honestly, listening to other people's stories did help me, because I needed to know that I was not the only one. Even though I knew I wasn't the only one, I needed proof. I needed to hear that. I needed to hear stories. I needed to relate. And so those stories really mattered. And the reason why I truly wanted to share it on this is because it is birth. You know, I don't like the term miscarriage. It is what it is. And technically that's what it is. But I'm like, birth is birth. And sometimes birth, it doesn't have a happy ending, whether it's at 6 weeks, whether it's at 41 weeks or 40 weeks or 38 weeks or 21 weeks, like these things do happen, and not everything is always rainbows and butterflies, although we do hope for that and we want it that way. But unfortunately, that's just not how life is. So, I hope, that her story touches you, and, I am so thankful for those of you who have listened and helped me honor her and honor all of those little angels during this month. Not only during this month, but, you know, 365 days of the year, because their lives did matter, and they were loved. And I think that's just so important to say out loud, too, that some people, and fortunately so, don't understand it until you've kind of been in that. But I think any mother who has given birth can relate in some way. I mean, you have a connection with your baby. Most people do right from the start. That moment you see them, whether it's the pee stick line or that first ultrasound where you see that little heart flickering, you build a connection, and it's an unbreakable bond, honestly. So, but yeah, anyways, I'm going to leave it here. I appreciate you guys listening, and I look forward to getting some more episodes out here very soon. So thank you guys.
Hey friends, this concludes today's episode, but be sure to catch up on all of our past episodes on your favorite podcast platform. If you or someone you know are interested in sharing your story, we would love to hear from you. You can find us on Instagram, From Bumps to Birth, or you can message me personally, Ricky Hamley, on Facebook or Instagram. Your love and support mean so much to me. So my fellow birth geeks. Until next time.